Hello, everybody, recording live from somewhere. This is the Fry Cook on Venus podcast, and I'm your host. I go by the name of Scott Anderson. I am a dreamer, a storyteller, a Renaissance man, and above all else, I'm a nice guy, trying to not finish last. Thank you for checking out the show again this week. If you're a regular, big ups to you as always. But if you're new to this and not yet true to this, thank you again. And please, feel free to leave us a rating and or quick review over in the world-famous iTunes store. Each one of them helps us move up the charts bit by bit, little by little, every single week. If you'd like to subscribe to the show so it comes to you free-o-matically, that is free, and automatically whenever it's uploaded, you can do that over in iTunes, as well as over in the official BlackBerry podcast app. If you have friends in life, in your head, or on social media, then please feel free to tell a friend to tell a friend about the show. Each share helps me out quite a bit. And if you're on Facebook, then please head on over to our website so you can hit that like button for us. That address is thatcsaguy.podomatic.com. So I was in the world-famous iTunes store the other day, just browsing podcasts, looking through the personal journal section, and I couldn't help but notice the number 29 ranked overall personal journal on iTunes is it's this little podcast known as the Fry Cook on Venus podcast. So I believe thank yous are in order for all of you lovely, lovely listeners. Hey, give it up for yourselves, man. Pat yourself on the back right now. Word to Barry Horowitz. You deserve it. And from the bottom of my bottom, I thank you all sincerely. If you told me a year ago, when I was still wrestling with the idea of starting a podcast, if you told me that I was going to have something in the top echelon of the iTunes store, I would not have believed you. I would have called you crazy and then swore at you profusely for mocking me. But here I am, not swearing whatsoever. At least, you know, not at an audible level. So what's next? What's the next mountain we climb together? Well, I started this so I could tell stories to make people feel some type of way. And I guess we're doing okay at that. And I think I just want to get it bigger, you know? Let's just take it to another level. I mean, all my favorite podcasts have done live episodes, and I don't want to, like, tip my hand a little too much here, but I would love to be able to do that. I don't know how. I wouldn't know where to start or what steps I would need to take to make that happen. But who knows? Maybe a year from now, I will have already done a live podcast, and who knows what the future holds, and I'm excited. So I just want to say thank you to everybody. If you haven't got to rate the show yet, please, each one helps. Like, I'm being serious when I tell you, each one helps immensely. So thank you to everybody who's done it, to everybody who's tried to do it but hasn't gotten around to it yet. Please, I encourage you. This is my PBS asking for money every so often during the year. Yeah, just please go do that in iTunes, in the BlackBerry store, wherever you can find a nice place to write a comment about me. If it's got to be a bathroom stall, so be it. Please just hashtag it FCOV and we'll move from there. This week on the show, it's me solo on the show though, for show, bro. We're going to wrap up the Klosterman questions. I'm going to try to keep it quick and upbeat because I'll be honest, the last episode of this show, I needed a hug like 3 questions into this Q&A session. So I'm going to try to keep it live for you. I'm going to play some music. We're going to enjoy ourselves, get comfy, put your feet up. Let's go. Number 10, the situation's like this. You're in a competition for the right to stay alive. You end up matched up against a person of your own gender in 5 events. You've got to win 3 out of the 5 to live. The events are 800 meter run, a game of Scrabble, a 3-round boxing match, a debate over the legalization of late-term abortion, and the math portion of the SATs. Now, there's a bit of a twist. You can kind of pick your opponent. You can pick A, a person selected at random, or B, a person who is exactly like you. If you pick the random person, the individual could be any age or at any skill level. This could be an infant with Down syndrome, but might also be an academic All-American linebacker from Notre Dame. Shout out to Manti Te'o. If you pick the average human, he or she will be precisely your age and will have the identical level of education, and the person will be a perfect cross-section of your particular demographic. He or she will be the average height, average weight, average IQ, and have the average life experiences of people of your demographic. So, who do you select to compete against? Or perhaps more accurately, do you feel that you are better than an average version of yourself? I would avoid picking the random opponent because that way you don't know what you're in store for. You can't prepare. If you pick the quote-unquote average person, the person who's supposed to be a lot like you, you know what to expect. You know what to improve upon. And plus me, I think I'm better than an average version of myself. I don't think there's anybody on this planet who does what I do the way I do what I do. The name of the game is taking 3 of 5 events from a person who is supposedly an average representation of your own demographic. And I think I could take 3 of 5. I mean, 800 meter run, I got that stamina, you know, I work hard. A game of Scrabble might go my way, assuming it's basically the same thing as Words with Friends. Because let's face it, there's only one person I know who hasn't lost to me in Words with Friends. Shout out to my man Sonny J in Montreal. He knows my struggles. Three-round boxing match, I should be able to go. I mean, I got a Nintendo Wii. That should be all right. A debate, I'm losing that. Like, that's a scratch. And the math portion, I should be able to handle myself. I mean, I think I could take an average person, so bring me the average person, and I will send you back a victim. 11. The year is 1933. You're in Berlin, Germany, and somehow you find yourself in a position where you can steal Adolf Hitler's wallet. The effect of this theft will not affect the outcomes of World War II in any way. He will still rise to power and do all the things he did. The only downside for him is that he will be down $40 and you'll ruin his evening. So the question is, are you ethically obliged to steal Hitler's wallet? No, I would not steal his wallet if I'm not affecting the outcome of World War II. There's no point. If I get caught, I die. And if I don't, it's the same situation as if I didn't steal his wallet at all. So basically, I'm risking my life for nothing. If the question said, would you like to kill Hitler? Hey, maybe I could go back in time and save 6 million plus people. But since I can't do any of that in this example, I'm just gonna have to pass. Numero dos, how would your views about war, politics, and the role of the military change if all future conflicts were fought by armies of robots? Well, my current policy is war. What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Say it again. I would still think the best way to resolve conflicts is through words. And that's not just for, you know, beefing nations. I think between people. If you want to resolve a situation, it could be like a couple who is vexed with each other. I mean, just talk. All you got to do is talk. Communication is the key to everything in relationships. If it were all robots, I would, you know, be a little more in favor of war, but still, words are where it's at, man. Good old number 13. Have you ever seen the movie Alive, where the plane crashes in the mountains and the people have to eat the other people who died in the plane crash to survive? Well, guess which situation you find yourself in now? Long story short, the question is, would you rather eat a dead baby or would you rather eat a dead elderly person? Would gender play a role in your selection process? And how much would it bother you if it turned out that the meat tasted delicious? I just like to start this off by saying this is a twisted question, and I would rather eat an old person. I feel bad for babies, for one, and two, that's all fat. I mean, you know, this is just not good for you. I'm trying to stay slim while I'm on this mountain, you know? Would gender play a role? I don't really think so, but if I have to pick, I guess I'd rather have a dude in my mouth than eat a lady. There's a soundbite for you, internet. Thank me later. How much would it bother me if the meat was delicious? Like I'm already creeped out sufficiently. It would probably bother me more, but I couldn't tell you how much until I tasted it. Side note, I used to hang out with this girl, and she wasn't really a foodie, but she had a very refined palate. She was up there when it came to taste. And this one time we're talking, and she was like, you know what, one of these days, I would love to just try a piece of human. And I was like, what are you talking about? And she was like, I don't mean I'm going to go eat somebody. I mean, you know, if it was cooked properly, I wouldn't mind trying it. And I was like, yo, remind me never to come over to your house if you offer to cook dinner, because I can just imagine this woman serving up a toe. And she was like, no, I mean a piece of flesh, like a fatty piece from like stomach or whatever. And long story short, I know how to pick friends. Next question.
Number 14. Is there any widespread practice more futile than attempting to predict society's future relationship with technology? Sure. I mean, have you ever tried to beat a dead horse? It gets pretty boring after a while. Or so I hear, just in case Pete is listening to this. But seriously, I understand what they're saying here. I mean, you can't really predict the way technology is going to go. I mean, I'm sure way back when they said, oh, in 2020, we're going to have flying cars. And I'm sure plenty of people expected the Jetsons to be, you know, the norm for society today. But in my opinion, there are definitely things more pointless to argue about than, you know, technology in the future. I mean, religion, to me, and I know I'm going into dangerous territory here, but to me, religion, just predicting it and trying to validate it, it's just crazy. It's just people talking in circles. You can't prove it any more than you can disprove it, or at least that's just my opinion. There was this guy in a class I had not too long ago. It was the first time I was meeting him, and he comes up to me. He's like, hey, man, how's it going? And we get to talking. It's like our first conversation, just meeting each other. And he eventually goes to me, so what religion are you? And this, it kind of took me aback, because I've had friends for years, and this question never came up. But this guy wants to hit it right off the bat, so I look him in the eye, and in the most serious way I can, I'm like, I don't really know what to tell you. And he laughs as if I'm joking, and he goes, ah, nah, but for real, though, be serious. What religion are you? So I'm like, oh, I was raised Catholic. And he goes, oh, okay, cool, so that's what you believe. What? But the thing is, I was never really pushed with a specific belief system. If you really think about it, from the start, I was always just raised to be a good person and treat people the way I want to be treated. There was never a certain higher power attached to that. My parents just told me, don't be stupid. And I tried not to be stupid. And here I am. I mean, people want to talk about this power, that power, this spirit, that spirit. One of the things I learned in high school that has actually stuck with me, and it's not how to look foolish in front of women, although I am a pro. It was grade 11 world religion class, where instead of just focusing on the one religion we've always looked at, we looked at other ones. In fact, I did a project in like a synagogue where I had to go ask a rabbi a bunch of things. And what these presentations and lectures told me and informed me of was that basically, at the core of them all religions are kind of saying the same thing. Don't be stupid. Treat people the way you want to be treated. They go on about the golden rule. To me, a lot of people just want to argue about semantics when really we could all just be nice to each other. And to me, that is more futile than trying to figure out when we're gonna get flying cars. Number 15 goes a little bit like this. While traveling on business, your spouse, who you are madly in love with, is involved in a plane crash over the Pacific Ocean. For 7 months, it's assumed that her and all the other people on the plane were lost forever, and you've been mourning ever since. However, one day the unbelievable happens. It turns out that her and one other survivor managed to make it through this tragedy. They made it to a deserted island, and they had supplies from the plane, and they're alive. It's amazing. You are ecstatic. The two survivors return home via helicopter as the media awaits them to greet them. Upon their arrival, there is an international press conference, and during this press conference, you cannot help but notice how sexy the other survivor is. Physically, he or she is perfect, and That person is the exact type of person your mate is usually attracted to. Moreover, the intensity of the event has clearly galvanized a relationship between the two crash victims. They spend most of the interview explaining how they could not have survived without the other one's presence, and both admitting to virtually have given up on the possibility of a tearful reunion with their loved ones. It's extremely emotional. But after the press conference, when you're finally reunited with the love of your life, he or she embraces you warmly and kisses you passionately and deeply. So the question is, how long do you wait before asking if he or she was ever unfaithful to you on this island? Or do you never ask? And if your mate's answer is yes, would that, under these specific circumstances, be acceptable? I am not going to ask my girl this ever under any circumstances ever. I don't care to know, ignorance is bliss, but moreover that, I trust her. I don't believe that she would do that to me under any circumstances. Would it make sense if she did? Sure, I can see the point. I don't agree with it, I wouldn't like it, I'd be heartbroken, and kids, being heartbroken sucks, let me tell you. But I trust her. If she doesn't tell me, when she sees me, if she runs up to me and kisses me after this press conference, if I'm the guy whose arm she's running into, then I'm good. I got my girl back, yo. I trust her above everything. I mean, that's just who I am. Maybe I'm foolish like that. Maybe I'm stubborn. Maybe I'm naive. But that is my girl. That is the love of my life. And I put her over everything. I trust her, and we're good. Let's go back to the fun one, shall we? Number 16. Let's assume you have the ability to telekinetically change culture while you actively perceive it. Your mind can now dictate what you see and what you hear. For example, let's say you're listening to Pearl Jam's Yield, and you want the music to be heavier. All of a sudden, bam! It would sound like the guitar had been tuned differently in the studio. Let's say you're watching The Office, and you think Jim should marry Pam, or Karen, or both. You could make it happen. All you would need to do is think about that specific desire. However, such changes would only apply to you and your experience. You could save Jack at the end of Titanic, but that would not change the movie for anyone else. All other people would possess the same personal telekinetic power as you. Would you want this? And if this became a reality, would art retain any meaning whatsoever? I think I already have this. It's called imagination. Now, I know a lot of people have given up on theirs, but mine still quite active, and I use it all the time. If I want a movie to be different, I could easily just imagine the ending to be different. Now, the example I threw into the question, Jack survives at the end of Titanic. Wait, watch this. Imagine me in front of you, right? I'm thinking of Leonardo DiCaprio surviving. Boom. Sequel. In my mind, nobody else saw it but me. Does the original movie retain any meaning? Sure. We all saw Titanic. We all know what it's about. But that doesn't mean people can't like it differently, and it doesn't mean we can't interpret it differently. That's art. You're supposed to perceive it differently than the person beside you. It's subjective. That's what makes art art. So, to return to the question, would I want it? Yes. Wouldn't trade my imagination for anything. It's part of what makes me special. That and my charm and wit and devilish good looks and humility. Number 17. You ready for a fun one? Okay, it starts like this. You die and go to heaven. The Christian idea of heaven, where upon entering, you meet Jesus. And Jesus is like, hey, what's up? It's a pleasure to meet you. I know this is the first time you're seeing me, but trust me, I've seen you quite a bit. Now, this is heaven. Welcome. I think you're gonna like it here. However, I realize that this isn't for everyone. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna offer you an alternative place to go. It's not that bad of a place. And you ask him, yo, Jesus, are you sending me to hell? And Jesus is like, no, I wouldn't do that to you. There's another alternative to heaven. 18% of people who come here actually prefer that place. So if you'd like to go there, you can go there. However, you've only got 20 minutes to decide. And if you choose to go there, you cannot come back here. Make your choice wisely. What do you do? And in the words of No Mercy, where do you go? I'm staying in heaven, because, see, the concept of heaven involves all my family and friends up there, and I'm sure they are there, not in the fiery place. And since only 18% of people end up in this random new place, I don't think the majority of my family is going to be there. For me, if I'm going to heaven, it's because I want to go see all these people who have meant so much to me throughout the years. And if staying in heaven means I get to see more of them, then that's what I'm going to do. Number 18, spoiler alert, you're about to die again. Here we go. The world is ending, and it's ending quickly. It's either going to end at noon on your 40th birthday, or it will end 2 days after you die from natural causes at the age of 75. Which apocalyptic scenario do you prefer? I'm going to die on my 40th birthday, along with my squad, my team, my family, my friends, and the island of misfit toys that I call comrades. We're all going down as one. I mean, could I die at 75 and leave everybody else to die 2 days later? I could, but why would I want to miss all that chaos? I wouldn't leave the people who mean most to me alone in that. I mean, if we're all going to die, we might as well just die together. I mean, this is my team. We go through hardship with each other. We don't leave when things get difficult, even if we have a valid reason for doing so. Again, maybe I'm stubborn, maybe I'm naive, maybe I'm just dumb, but I'm going down when everybody else is going down. I will stay with this ship until it hits the bottom of the ocean. Ready for the big finish? Here's number 19. Get excited! You are given the chance to control what your legacy will be. You can't specifically dictate how you will be recalled by future generations, but you are given two options. The first kind of legacy would be that you lived your days as a good, honest person who did everything they could to better their society. However, the limitation of this legacy will be that almost no one will remember or know any of this information. Most average people will never even know you lived. The second kind of legacy will be familiar to almost everyone in the world for centuries to come. However, this legacy will be extremely strange and neutral. It'll basically be an obscure fact that has almost nothing to do with your tangible day-to-day life. Think about General So, who was an extremely gifted and successful military leader during the 17th century Qing Dynasty, but is now almost exclusively remembered as the namesake for the popular Chinese dish General So's chicken. Spoiler alert, guess what I'm gonna go eat when this is done? Oh my goodness. Anyways, what legacy do you want? I'm picking option A. I don't need to be immortal. All I want is just to be known as a good, hard-working dude who did everything he could to make the people around him happier and the place he lived better. That's it. If I fade from the consciousness of society in, I don't know, maybe like a week after I die, so be it. But I want to know before I go that I did everything I could to make people happy and to make people smile and to make them feel some type of way. Sorry, it's just, that song, it's so bad it's good, but I digress. I'd love to be, you know, the general. I love the general. The man makes good chicken, but I don't want to be a Snapple fact. I'm good just being some guy. That's all I need. Everything else is just bonus. And there you go. No more questions. We're done. The Scantron test is over. Congratulations. Submit your papers at the front of the class. Please leave silently. If you guys have your own questions, remember, you can send them in. Hit me up in the comment section. I will answer them. You guys know me. Before we go, you guys know the drill. I've got plugs to throw your way, so please duck. I don't want you to sue me if they hit you. YouTube.com/GeniusBoy88. That's where we keep all the videos at. Twitter.com/ThatCSAGuy. Find me there all the time, pretty much every single day, because I don't have much of a life. I've got a blog, thatcsaguy.blogspot.ca,
And the show's website, thatcsaguy.podomatic.com. Feel free to go over there, hit that like button, go to iTunes, rate and review the show, subscribe to the show, share the show, listen to the show again. Do it, do it, do it. Hashtag peer pressure. That wraps it up from here. You have been listening to the Fry Cook on Venus podcast. And before we go, here's something for you. I think the avocado is just Banana's popular cousin who wears Chucks, gets girls, but has a lame old personality when his friends aren't around. Thanks, Hannah.